It's the illustrious from high above Wyoming mainstream media. Joined by Mr. Misdemeanor himself, the Saratoga Sledgehammer. Starting your day the right way on the Independence Network. It's time for the morning show with your hosts, David Iverson and Jailbird Joey.
And it is time for the morning show once again here on the Independence Network. Jailbird Joey in the driver's seat over the next hour. Got a big stack of stuff to go through today. Got my good friend and co-host David Iverson with me here this morning. What's going on with you and the world there, David?
Not a lot, Joey. Another beautiful Wednesday morning. Looks like the weather's finally going to pretend that it's still spring. But we've got a lot of stuff on the calendar today, so let's just get to it.
Yeah, before we jump in real deep, I got a message from the Sweetwater County School District number 1 yesterday. There was an outage, and Sweetwater County School District number 1 currently experiencing a district-wide network outage. Updates to follow. Now, I don't know if the network actually went out or the network identified as fully functioning and was transitioning, and the school district just wanted to keep it from people like the parents. I'm not sure it was the Sweetwater County School District, but...
Well, we know
you got to apply reality to
it. Yeah. You know, and they make a habit of not informing parents of what's actually going on. So it may be weeks or months before we know what's happening in Sweetwater County.
Speaking of informing people of what's going on, I got to visit with Harriet Hageman last night. She came to Carbon County, gave a great talk. And I'll tell you, I'm just constantly impressed as hell with Harriet, not just what she does in DC, but the way she interacts with the people. She couldn't make it to the convention, but here it is, just 48 hours, 36 hours, whatever, later. She's back in Wyoming doing town halls. She's got 4 or 5 scheduled this week. And one of the things that skills and abilities that Harriet Hageman has that I'm very jealous of is she just has the ability to, I don't know, look at things in a certain way and deal with people in a certain way that is beyond me. A question came up about Kevin McCarthy, and she admitted that she took some heat for that vote in replacing the Speaker of the House. But she also went into, here are some of the really conservative bills that wouldn't have gotten passed without Kevin McCarthy. And she didn't sing his praises, but, you know, she brought the reality of the situation down. And me, I don't know. I catch you being sneaky, slimy, hypocritical, making a bad vote one time. It's really hard for me to get over that. But obviously, Harriet's a better person than I am. And she just knocked it out of the park again last night. You can catch that on Just Blame Joey Live this morning. I've got the full meeting with Harriet on my show. But let's get into some other news, David. I know you got something that's brewing in your brain right now.
Yeah, before we get off the whole Harriet thing, you know, she, from the very beginning, she said that she was going to support Kevin McCarthy. And in an interview that she did with me, she went into great detail as to why. And, you know, we can fault her for, well, actually, I don't think there's a lot of things you could fault Harriet for. But, I mean, you could disagree with her decision to support Kevin McCarthy. But she was very clear through the entire campaign when, you know, up until the point she was sworn in and afterwards that she was going to support him. And, yeah, she took a little heat for it. But I think that, you know, it could have been a classic case of be careful what you wish for, because what you get might end up being a lot worse than what you already had. And if you look at the decisions that Speaker Johnson has made, I think you could make a pretty good argument that we may have been better off with the other guy.
Yeah, and leave it to Harriet to be able to see the value and ability in people in spite of any of the rhetoric or, you know, legitimate actions of an individual. I don't have that ability. It's kind of one and done with me, but she sees the useful tools that are out there and saying, yeah, well, you may have to take a little extra with this, but be careful what you wish for. And that vacuum did get filled with somebody we're kind of having buyer's remorse on now. Again, we'll talk about that more on my show. Oh, wow. Big old stack of stuff. Look like we have a few candidates who are announcing in Wyoming and announcing big and loud and maybe not completely on point. I'll let you take this one because apparently this is an old friend of yours that we're going to start with.
Yeah, well, you know, Joey, usually when you start a campaign out, you want to sort of ingratiate yourself to your constituents, especially if you're not well known. You know, you want to put your best foot forward, give the best first impression that you possibly can. And a lot of times you kind of hold back the ammunition till a little bit longer in the campaign. Not Julie Jarvis. Nope. She started her campaign accusing Jeanette Ward of something that she didn't do. In specifics?
Yeah, that's always fun.
So there was this big deal about a gravel pit down in Casper. And, I mean, there's... If you pay attention to social media, this is kind of a hot topic. There's a forum coming up that Kyle True is putting on about the gravel pit. I think that one's on May 9th. But there's a lot of back and forth about this. You know, people on both sides. But really what it boils down to is counties have the authority to, decide whether or not you're going to put a gravel pit in or not. And, of course, you have to comply with some DEQ regulations and other environmental stuff. But it came up during the legislature. And Senate File 44, I believe, would have tweaked the regulations concerning mining operations in counties. And essentially what it said is if the proposed mining operation is 15 acres or less, then, you know, the county really has more authority over it. Well, Steve Harshman brought an amendment that said pretty much would have eliminated Natrona County's ability to grant permission for that gravel pit. And the current representative of House District 57, which would be Jeanette Ward, she voted against Harshman's amendment and ultimately voted against the bill. And the reason for that is the state really doesn't have any business telling a county what they can do with their, you know, with mining operations in their county. It's not really mining anyway. It's a gravel pit. Mining's a little bit different because the statute specifically says that any non-coal-related mining, so we're talking about gravel, sand, those sorts of things. But the principle here is local control. Now, you hear the Redcoats talk about this all of the time. We have to have local control, when it suits them, of course, because most of the time when that phrase comes out, it's about the school district. Well, we can't take local control away. You know, don't prevent us from putting pornography in the school libraries, all of that stuff. So the reason why Jeanette voted against the amendment is that it would have stripped local control away from Natrona County. Now, as far as the gravel pit goes, Jeanette Ward hasn't taken a position one way or another because the gravel pit is not in her district. And so she just voted against the bill, and that's it. But in the video that Julie Jarvis, who is running for House District 57, she goes on and on about accusing Jeanette Ward of not listening to her constituents and how dare she damage the beautiful mountains in Casper and allow, you know, I've just on and on and on. And the truth is, it's mudslinging from the very beginning. And frankly, if you watch her video, wasn't really impressed anyway.
Yeah, what I heard in the video was a lot of scare tactic. It definitely didn't follow our standard here of point fingers, name names, and bring evidence. Julie Jarvis didn't even reference the bill. She just, a lot of gleaming generalities. My opponent supports a gravel pit, and there's no evidence of that. There's no reference to the bill. There's no look at this article or this op-ed that Jeanette Ward put out saying, I support the gravel pit. And I will fully back a concept of voting on the procedure regardless of the content of the bill. I see that as Jeanette Ward doing exactly what you said, saying, nope, we're not going to let the state come in and just do whatever they want, especially because county commissioners spend so much time developing what's called a county land use plan, and they're intimately involved, and they know every acre of their county, and they make constant decisions based on endless discussions, updating the plan, permitting, zoning, all that stuff happens at the local level. So it sounds like what Julie Jarvis's problem really is that the rules that have always been in place are probably going to stay in place, and she's worried how her county commissioners are going to decide on this, not how the opponent she's running against, who has nothing to do with it. It isn't in her district, and it's not in the district that Julie Jarvis is running for. That seems to be the concern, is the individual personalities or the land use plan of the Natrona County commissioners. So if that's her, you know, launching point for a campaign, I would think she'd want to run for county commissioner, not for the state house. But, you know, I'm just a guy in a studio in Saratoga. What do I know? Workaday knucklehead over here. Well, there's a couple other things in there.
Just before we go on, now, you mentioned that I do know Julie Jarvis. That's true. I went to high school with her. We were co-valedictorians, and the truth is there were 9 valedictorians in our graduating class, if you can believe that. So I've already sent Julie an invitation to come on the program and talk about her video and discuss the race for House District 57. So I just want to make it clear that I've already given her the opportunity to come on Cowboy State Politics for an interview. Now, there's a couple of other things about Ms. Jarvis that we probably ought to talk about. She's a school administrator, and she has been pretty much her entire career, except for when she was in Buffalo. I think she taught like 4th grade or something like that. But she spent almost her entire career in education. And she was also on the infamous committee in Natrona County about all the porn books in the library. And wouldn't you know, every single book that was challenged, they allowed back in the library. So, I mean, Julie's got some questions to answer all the way around, all of which I'm fascinated to hear her answers to.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun one because, you know, I sent you a picture yesterday. I happened to be swinging by my county clerk's office, which is the second floor of the library here in Carbon County. And they got some new banners up. One of them says, because libraries make leaders. And the other one says, because fake news and has real world consequences. And the last one says, because access equals opportunity. Now, I don't know exactly what they mean by putting this up, but it's obviously from the, the Library Association of America campaign.
American Library Association.
It almost looks like the library is campaigning indirectly for candidates, saying anybody that supports libraries, porn in the libraries, they're a good leader, and the fake news is going to come after them. It almost edges on electioneering. It doesn't say anybody's name, but of course we know for a fact, and we've proven here on the show, that the access in libraries and the leaders that they create gives you people like Old Woody, who is now the vice president. The vice president of the Wyoming Press Association, the porn king of the Wyoming library system, who also took off and worked for the newspaper. So that middle banner of the because fake news has real world consequences seems to be pointing right at Woody, being like, we're ashamed of you.
That, and I don't think that we should gloss over the fact that Old Woody had access, and it did create an opportunity for him. In fact, it created an opportunity for him to leave the library. So evidently, access and opportunity in the library creates opportunities elsewhere.
Yeah, so that's a fact. The Julie Jarvis being on that board and there still being porn in the Natrona County libraries, that's a fact. It's documented. You can feel how you want about it. I just know that this is going to be more than a longstanding fight. We've already been going through it for a few years. Look at the Fremont County debacle with their county commissioners and their library. I don't know that people are going to want a professional educator who's fully backed by the Wyoming Education Association, who has been involved with keeping porn in the libraries, as their representative, especially if all they've got is fake dirt on their opponent.
Well, now
another interesting thing. You said that she was been in education and she's an administrator. I looked it up, and her official title with the Natrona County School District is Director of Teaching and Education. What the hell is that? Isn't that a superintendent or a school principal? They created a special position to pay her administration rates so she doesn't have to teach a single child to be the Director of Teaching and Education. It seems like a side task of a superintendent that this woman is getting a full, you know, pay package plus benefits out of our way overfunded school system that doesn't need to exist.
Well, I can tell you that in at least a couple of school districts that she did apply for, like, the vice superintendent or something. I know that she applied for that in Johnson County. And I'm not exactly sure what her position was in Fremont County. I'm sure it was some sort of administrative thing. But it's always been, with Julie, it's always been some position in administration. But one thing I don't want to skip over, Joey, is, you know, right at the end of her video, she talks about, you know, being listening to people and being able to disagree and be nice about it. I don't know if that's the exact words, but basically that's what she's saying right after she slung a bunch of mud in Jeanette's direction.
Yeah, there's that. And I don't know if you have the soundbite queued up, but she sounds like someone else that we've heard from lately. We haven't seen him in a while. We definitely didn't see the governor at the Wyoming Republican Party convention this weekend. But that's probably because he was busy making this commercial down in New Mexico.
I'm Mark Gordon, Republican governor of Wyoming.
And I'm Michelle Lujan Grisham, Democratic governor of New Mexico.
We're here to talk about one of our oldest, most cherished American traditions.
And we don't mean our deeply held sense of patriotism.
Our deep-fried food.
Or our deep-rooted refusal to use the metric system.
We're talking about disagreement.
That's because our country was founded by people who disagreed on just about every issue. People who, in many cases, didn't even like each other.
And yet, they still got the job done. Just like we do.
By asking questions, listening, and staying curious, by confronting ideas, not people.
So while we may disagree on some things, like that green chili thing,
we don't disagree, you love it.
Whatever it is, we can stay friends. And there is one thing that we should always agree on.
That it's okay to disagree the right way.
Together, we can disagree better.
Barf.
Well, I knew Gordon was, you know, pretty much a Democrat, but now he's a full-blown jackass, really? Together, we can disagree better. And the best part about that whole commercial is when he challenges the green chili thing and he lets her tell him, no, we agree on that, shut up. That sounds like kind of incivil talk. But the way this, you know, if you listen to the Julie Jarvis video and then you listen to this commercial, you hear a lot of the same, intent in there. Which is baseless. It's always been the argument. We've talked about it since before we started the network. They're always going to argue civility and the way you debate as their argument because they have nothing else. And in my mind, if it walks like a Gordon and it talks like a Gordon, it's a Gordon, a Gordite. So if you want that in Natrona County, I guess you know who to vote for. Me personally, I've looked at the law and talked to the president of the County Clerks Association. And I've just decided I'm going to identify as a homeless person from Casper. I'm going to go ahead and register at the courthouse down there in Natrona County and vote for Jeanette Ward, because apparently that's okay now. As long as you identify as homeless, you get to register at the courthouse regardless of where you live. And I think that's just going to be what I have to do there.
Well, an interesting thing about that district, Joey, is it was previously held by Chuck Gray. So District 57, it is largely conservative. And they're not the type of folks that you can just claim, I'm a conservative, which Julie Jarvis does. We can talk about that ad nauseum later. But a lot of the platitudes that are in her video are not going to fly with the majority of voters in House District 57. And, you know, that's not a slight against, you know, Ms. Jarvis. It's the truth. When you have Chuck Gray as your representative for... it was at least three terms, and then you elect Jeanette Ward. My guess is you're a pretty conservative bunch. So it's going to be interesting to see how all of these platitudes play with Natrona County voters. I think it's going to be fascinating. And like I said, we're being pretty critical of Ms. Jarvis, but she is invited on Cowboy State Politics. And if she agrees, I'll bring you that interview. In fact, I'll even drive down to Casper to do the interview with her. I'm just that interested in it. And I might know a few more things about Ms. Jarvis. We'll just see what she comes out with in the media. You know, I always say, Joey, that you never ask a question unless you already know the answer to it. And there's a lot of things about these candidates that they're going to get some pretty pointed questions from me simply because I already know the answer to them. As in, I'm a conservative. Really? Define conservatism. You're a teacher. I'm assuming that you have a dictionary. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, and on the other side, never ask a question you don't want the other answer to. You know, Julie Jarvis in her video states, you know, the people aren't being listened to. We're not having the majority voice brought forward. Well, you just started your campaign. I'm sure you've talked to your little echo chamber of supporters, but get out there and door knock and find out that, well, in this district, like you said, maybe people don't support all these goofy ideas and accusations I have. So drink a little bit of your own medicine there and go out and see what the people actually think. And you may be sorely surprised that they like Jeanette Ward for a reason and that you haven't actually listened to the people yet. You've done what Jerry Paxton was famous for. You had a few key stakeholders that you thought ran everything and you listened to them all the time. And yeah, so that'll be an interesting race. And yeah. Okay, campaign season is upon us. That's our candidate review for today. If you're looking for an opportunity to raise some money for your favorite candidate, you may want to stay away from selling Girl Scout cookies to raise those funds, because apparently that's a problem in Wyoming now too. And before we get into the story, I want to point back, way back, I think 2.5 years ago, Joe Biden was doing this whole thing of if you sell or make any money doing anything over $20, you sell more than five of a single item, all these things that we're going to have to tax you, you need a business license. And it blew up in his face. We were worried about things like garage sales. Now you got to report all that income. I think we discussed Girl Scout cookies. Definitely individuals that sell a couple of guns or a couple of cars here and there. But now it's actually happened in Wyoming. We always said it'll never happen here in Wyoming. And here we have a story out of Pinedale.
Of all places.
Looks like a girl, yeah. Wyoming Girl Scout, age 13, fined $400 for selling cookies without a permit. A 13-year-old Girl Scout from Pinedale was surprised when a local by-the-book municipal code officer slapped her with more than $400 in fines for selling Girl Scout cookies. I believe it was on their own property, too.
Yeah, it was.
Right out of mom's car in the driveway.
It was actually their her grandparents' property. And so one of the violations, or at least what started this whole thing, is the code officer or the parking lady or whatever you want to call her. She says she accused the young girl of not having permission to sell Girl Scout cookies on the property. And I just kind of breezed through the article, but it was her grandparents' house. And the only big problem that was there is her mom had parked a vehicle in the driveway, and the vehicle was apparently straddling the sidewalk. So the ticket lady, the parking meter maid, or whatever you want to call her, wrote her up for $400 worth of tickets for selling Girl Scout cookies. One of the real travesties in this whole story is mom had to hire a lawyer, which cost her $500. And she still ended up having to pay a $150 fine in Pinedale. Pinedale is a town of, yeah, what, about 2,000 people, something like that. Yeah, probably most of the people in Pinedale probably go to the same little girl every year to buy their Girl Scout cookies. And here you have this power-hungry meter maid that's writing tickets, you know, harassing little girls for selling Girl Scout cookies. And, you know, Joey, I mean, we could talk about the specifics of the case, but really, I think the larger issue on this one is, where is common sense? It's a little girl selling Girl Scout cookies. Why is that, you know, worthy of writing up a whole bunch of tickets and fining her $400? Absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I don't know where we stopped having common sense. You know, this literally is going towards the harassing little kids that have a lemonade stand out on the sidewalk. I mean, come on. Who hired this person in Pinedale?
Yeah, talk about your police state. I'm going to hit the procedure side. The actual charge was for conducting business for revenue within a YDOT right-of-way. That was the, it wasn't just selling cookies without a license. Ultimately, what that last charge that the $150 came from was you know, generating revenue through sales in a YDOT right-of-way, which the sidewalk is, if that's a state highway out there and YDOT maintains it. Otherwise, it would be a county road. My problem is YDOT is its own regulatory agency. Why is the county or the town code enforcement officer enforcing YDOT regulations? If that is the actual charge, that's a YDOT problem, and they can handle it themselves. And I'll give you an example. The sheriff over there in, what was it, Daniel, Wyoming, couldn't do anything to the guy with the wolf. Only Wyoming Game and Fish did, because the violation was within the regulations that they administer. So procedurally, I'm like, yeah, okay, fine. Technically, on paper, this kid may have done something that you want to be all brown shirt about, but it's not your responsibility. You know, we got a bunch of homeowner association Karens out there, and now they're literally attacking our kids. I don't get it. But where we strayed from what you called the common sense aspect of law enforcement or just community, I think it was shortly after 9/11 with the kind of militarization of the police force. It was no longer protect and serve. They would never, you know, ticket you for being drunk in public if you weren't causing a problem. They'd give you a ride home back in the day. Now it's gone from protect and serve and make sure your community's safe and have a good relationship with law enforcement to every person they see is a cash register. It's revenue generation, it's constant, and now it's getting to the level where they're doing it to our kids. Actually, they're doing it to us through our kids, but what you're putting kids through, you know, this kid is probably never going to want to sell Girl Scout cookies again or be so hesitant to do anything, making sure that she knows she's following the law at all times. She's 13 years old. So I think that's when it happened, when we stopped doing the protect and serve and went to militarized revenue generation through law enforcement. And yeah, we're just going to have to find a way to say, no, you got to stop this crap. If you want revenue generation, you know, have a backbone about it and try to pass another fuel tax like you constantly do and fail at just about every year, and leave the kids alone.
Well, let's talk about the hypocrisy of all this just a little bit. Just about every single main street in Wyoming is a highway. Now, not all of them are YDOT right-of-ways, but a lot of them are. So, for example, in Buffalo, Wyoming, that's controlled by YDOT. It's Highway 16, I think. There's one in Sheridan. Okay, the main street in Sheridan is a YDOT right-of-way. So why is it that all of the businesses that line all of those YDOT right-of-ways can put their table out on the sidewalk, which evidently that's in a YDOT right-of-way, and you don't mess with them, but you got to mess with a little kid? I mean, this is a case of a meter maid. And I think I'm just going to continually call it that, because, I mean, that's the position this person took. Someone that has a tiny little bit of power harassing a 13-year-old kid for selling Girl Scout cookies. So where are all the prosecutions of all of those businesses that are conducting business in a YDOT right-of-way, and you're focusing on a 13-year-old girl who's raising money to go to summer camp? Give me a friggin' break. I mean, this, and secondly, the prosecutor that went ahead with these charges, the judge that agreed to fine her parents $150, oh my God. I don't know what's happening down in Pinedale. Maybe they've been hanging out with Albert Sommers too much, but this is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, and I'm going to go back to, this is a municipal code enforcement officer. You should be enforcing municipal code. Yeah, not stepping out of your lane. Oh, here's a YDOT thing. Technically, on paper, again, I'm sure they, obviously a judge agreed that it was a violation, but it wasn't that individual. The reason they have municipal code enforcement officers is because county sheriffs can't come into your town, even if that town is in the county that they, you know, patrol, and enforce municipal code. They can, county sheriffs can only do state law. That's why you have local police and municipal code enforcement, so that those laws that your city council comes up with to, you know, reduce your liberties and freedom can be legally enforced. So again, I think this is stepping way out of their lane, especially if you're a local code enforcement officer. And what's the next step, or where's the equal application of this? Are kids who are drawing on sidewalks with chalk going to start getting fined for graffiti and defacing a YDOT right-of-way, because that is the same exact concept. It's almost endless to where, I don't know where it stops, but I do know that it's got to be primarily focused on revenue generation.
I'm sure that it is, but there's a lot of different examples of this in communities all over Wyoming. And it always starts with, you know, somebody on the city council saying, hey, I have a great idea. And the city council passes it. And then they realize a little bit later on that that's really a really stupid idea. And they end up doing away with it. I'll give you two examples. In Buffalo, they passed what they called a nuisance ordinance. And in the ordinance, it literally said your grass can be no taller than, I think it was either 6 inches or 8 inches. Now, admittedly, if your lawn is 6 inches high, it's a little bit of a nuisance, but it's your private property. But that didn't matter to the Buffalo City Council, so they passed a nuisance ordinance, only later to realize that they're going to have to pay somebody to go around and patrol the entire town and write up everybody who doesn't mow their grass. So that nuisance ordinance, while it's still on the books, it's not enforced in any way, shape, or form. And when you compare that with the hypocrisy of city-owned property, and I brought this to the attention of the city council, you know, they're right beside the swimming pool in Buffalo. There's a big chunk of property that's owned by the city. It's where the former Buffalo High School was at, up on top of a hill. But I went out there with a yardstick and measured the grass, and it was 10 and a half inches. And, I mean, it was this just entire field. So I took a picture of it, sent it to the mayor, and say, hey, when are you going to mow your grass? So ridiculous. They didn't enforce it. They couldn't pay for it. Another example, the city of Sheridan. There was, and I don't think that this one passed, but a city councilman decided to put forth an ordinance to mandate that you clip your dog's toenails. I'm not even joking. So that one, it didn't pass, thankfully. But this is the ridiculous stuff that comes out of city councils. Now, when you apply that to the Pinedale situation, that meter maid, there evidently was not some crazy, you know, city ordinance, the dog toenail clipping or the nuisance ordinance in Buffalo. But still, it's an example of a municipality exceeding its authority. And I think that we can definitely characterize it as that, because municipal code officer / meter maid really doesn't have the authority to enforce any sort of YDOT regulations. That's up to the state troopers, wouldn't it? Because the Wyoming Highway Patrol controls the YDOT right-of-ways. So, lots of problems down there in Pinedale, and shame on that judge for even allowing the case to continue. Shame on the meter maid for writing the tickets. And y'all need to get some common sense down there in Pinedale. I realize it's a challenge for you since you've elected Albert Sommers for a really long time. But now you've got a chance to change it. So stop picking on little kids.
Yeah, and let's talk about the real focus of the story, or where the focus of the story should be. 13-year-old Emma Carroll of Pinedale, she's doing what all kids her age are going to do. She wants to go to camp. She's involved in Girl Scouts. And again, not only has that been stopped, but the family has incurred some extra financial hardships in dealing with this. So I'm going to do what we're always suggested to do as a non-Wyomingite myself. I'm going to try to solve a Wyoming problem with a Wyoming solution. I'm going to get a hold of the Carroll family. And if you want to help out, donate some money to make sure this kid goes to camp, or buy some Girl Scout cookies from her, send an email to Joey at justblamejoey.com. And once I've got contact with the family, I will coordinate how you can send those donations or those cookie orders directly to the Carroll family. I think the best thing we can do in this situation, we sit here and complain about the procedure and the ridiculous non-common sense enforcement of laws and, I don't know, brown shirt authority. We still want to make sure this kid's getting to camp. We want to make sure that this kid is the number one cookie selling Girl Scout in the state of Wyoming. And I think that's the best we can do with what the result of this situation is. This child was attacked, may not be able to go to camp, may not be able to sell cookies anymore, and their families picked up some financial hardship. So don't send me any money. I am going to coordinate this. If you're interested in helping out, getting a few bucks to this family, maybe getting a box of cookies out of it, just shoot me an email, joey@justblamejoey.com, and we will at least right the wrong if we can't, fight the system.
You know, I bet, given all of our programs, the Independence Network, Cowboy State Politics, I bet we could drastically increase that girl's Girl Scout cookie sales. Just saying. In fact, I'll buy a case from her. So find out who I got to talk to and get a case of cookies sent my way.
I'm all over it. But, you know, this may not have been a situation if this young lady had gotten herself a registered LLC at one of the many locations there
in
Fremont or Sheridan County. Yeah, she didn't have a fake business like apparently, I don't know, about 16,000 people in Sheridan proper have. Another story we're looking at today. I don't have it pulled. Let me pull it up. David's got it. Oh, here it is. Evidence piles up showing Wyoming's secretive LLC filing laws could be used for fraud. I'm not going to read the whole story, but this goes back to something, again, we've talked about before, that all of these companies, you can never find out who owns them, who runs them, or where they're actually located, because they're all registered at a single address, normally in Sheridan County. They have an address in Sheridan County that is the operating location for over 16,000 businesses in Wyoming, which is about one for every man, woman, and child. Yeah. Every man, woman, and child living in Sheridan owns a business if this is legit. What say you on this, David?
So the address is 30 North Gould, and it's a nondescript building a block off of Main Street, and I believe it's called Wyoming Corporate Offices, which interestingly enough, this fake business repository happens to be one of the main sponsors of Sheridan Media. But according to Chuck Gray, 40% of the businesses registered in Wyoming are registered at 30 North Gould in Sheridan, Wyoming. And it's true that Wyoming has some of the loosest, I guess you could call it, business filing rules, regulations, laws of any other state. So there are a tremendous amount of businesses that are registered within the state of Wyoming, many of which don't even conduct any business here. And so, you know, it's interesting. I mean, a couple of points on this. First, that the Cowpie is finally writing an article about this, since we've been talking about 30 North Gould for, I don't know, 2 years, 3 years. Chuck Gray has mentioned it several times. But it's in Wyoming law, all you have to have is a registered agent in the state of Wyoming, and then to file your yearly report. And it is a piece of cake to set up an LLC in the state of Wyoming. I would know that because, of course, I set up Cowboy State Politics LLC. And it's a way for you to set up a business. And, of course, Wyoming has the lowest taxes, probably among the lowest of taxes in the entire United States. So a lot of businesses set up shop in Wyoming. Now, that doesn't mean that they have storefronts. It doesn't mean that they actually do any business whatsoever in the state of Wyoming. They just register their business at 30 North Gould in Sheridan, Wyoming. And you would think, with the amount of businesses that are registered at that place, that it would be a gigantic warehouse. But it's not. It's a little nondescript building a block off of Main Street. So in the article, this county clerk, I believe, says she's doing her own in-county investigation into all of these businesses. And the question is Wyoming being used for fraud? And I would say, without a doubt, that's the case. If you try to get a hold of anybody at Wyoming corporate offices, you'll get the runaround. It's very difficult to talk to anybody there. And interestingly enough, the building 30 North Gould is owned by some interesting characters in the state of Wyoming, one of which happens to be a former judge, John Perry. Another one, this guy's passed away, but another partner in that was Greg Goddard, who was a terrible, philandering, corrupt county attorney in Johnson County. Isn't it amazing that a lot of the corrupt public officials we talk about originate in Johnson County? But there's yet another one, Dennis Kirvin, who's a lawyer in Johnson County, is the third partner, he's a third partner from Johnson County in that whole business. But it's very opaque. You can't get a hold of anybody there. 40% of the businesses in Wyoming are registered at that address. And many of them probably have never even set foot in Wyoming. So in this case, I think the cow pie is directly on point here, that absolutely that Wyoming's LLC laws are allowing for fraud. Which,
yeah,
hold on.
And it's not just shady lawyers, judges. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't know that we can call it fraud, though, because, you know, it's just the lax business laws that all of these folks are taking advantage of. So for it to be fraud, you would have to be violating some laws somewhere. And as much attention has been paid to 30 North Gould, I don't know that we can go, you know, to the extent of fraud. But I think the potential for abuse, there's definitely a lot of abuse going on there. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, 30 North Gould is not the only address mentioned here. They have found in this investigation that there are private residences that have upwards of 575 businesses registered to them. The individuals living there won't talk about it, but there's other private residences that say no. There's one out in Du Bois. A guy got a phone call saying, what business are you running out of this address? And he's like, none. And he's worried that he has, you know, identity theft going on. But there are businesses registered at private addresses that the people that live there have no idea. No, I don't have a business here. So there is the potentiality for some fraud. But back to the 30 North Gould address, you know, you talked about judges and lawyers and legislators and public officials and all these people running shady businesses, possibly shady businesses from this address. But you left out the media, because 30 North Gould is also the registered address of Stevenson Newspapers, the owner of the Saratoga Sun. And that business has its executive director, good old Woody. So yeah, that business is also run out of that address. I know, because I swung by to try to get an interview with Gary Stevenson, walked up to the building, and yeah, there's no businesses there. But oh well, looks like the media's in that one too. And I don't know, it's really disheartening that this is the reality, even if it is legal. And I remember back in 2016, back when Ella Wyoming was doing all of its stuff, that's how we found out who was who and what was what, as Charles Pelkey, representative at the time of House District 45, was the registered agent for all of the Ella Wyoming, Forward Wyoming, Better Wyoming, the Women Lead Wyoming. And that turned out to be a conflict because accidentally they used their real names and addresses, showing that a representative or somebody who had a vested interest in the legislation or the administration of government was also the head or the registered agent of a lobbying organization, which is a huge conflict. But I think they all got smart over the last 5 or 6 years and said, hey, let's just set up a shadow shell company and then do what we do over here. And of course, a lot of these businesses have, of course, applied for and received COVID relief funding, municipal grants, WBC, Wyoming Business Council grants, and we can't even prove that these businesses actually exist, but the government has been duped through their garbage system into sending them our hard-earned tax dollars anyway. So that's where my problem's going to be.
So I wonder if Hunter Biden has any of his businesses registered at 30 North Gould. Okay, just a joke. But what Hunter Biden...
He doesn't have any businesses registered there, but he does keep his laptops there sometimes.
Fair enough. So we've heard a lot about Hunter Biden's and Joe Biden's shell companies. And what a shell company is just a fake business that's used to funnel money through or, you know, conduct legal stuff. But the business or the company doesn't actually exist. So all it is just an LLC that's set up so that you can funnel money through it. So a lot of the businesses that are set up at 30 North Gould, we can make a pretty convincing argument that many of them are just shell companies. So if you're ever wondering what the media was talking about with Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and all of the shell companies, this is exactly what they're talking about. Businesses that have a questionable existence, that maybe they exist on paper, but they only have a registered agent. And perhaps we should just define real quick what a registered agent is. That's the person that legally represents the business. So if somebody's going to sue you, The person that gets served is the registered agent. It's not you. So this 30 North Gould that has 17,000 businesses at it, if any one of them gets sued, the process server shows up at 30 North Gould and says, here's your lawsuit. So that's what a registered agent is. And that's how a lot of these businesses sidestep being identified. If you look into a lot of them, and you can Google, you know, any number of these businesses, and you really won't find too much information on them, aside from 30 North Gould is their registered address.
Yeah, and the Fremont County assessor, but not the clerk, the assessor who did this investigation, sent out over 200, you know, hand cards to these registered business addresses saying, please reply, let us know, you know, what you're doing, where you're at. And of the 200 sent out, 10% came back. They only got a 10% response. So it's not just legal services. These people aren't even checking their mail over there at any of these addresses. Now, 30 North Gould is over there in Sheridan. They have other addresses in Fremont County. And again, I guess just being persnickety, I'm wondering why a county assessor has all this time to investigate businesses and their addresses, which is a legitimate, you know, interest, when, you know, she should really be handling the way property taxes are assessed and all of the individuals who she could help get reductions on their current property tax. I think that's time better spent, but I'm not going to rail against the effort too hard because, you know, hey, it's important. Wyoming's kind of being duped. There's companies that don't even not, you say step foot in the building. I'm saying step foot in the state. They've never been here and they have registered businesses here, whether it's for tax purposes or fraud or whatever. That is a bit concerning. But if you are interested in starting a small business, getting registered with the Secretary of State, bringing a diverse revenue source to the state of Wyoming, you'd think something like the Wyoming Business Council would be there to help you. But apparently you have competition. As we get into our last story of the day, the Wyoming Business Council accepting applications for community facility rehabilitation grants. The Wyoming Business Council opened applications for the Community Facility Rehabilitation Grant Program, a subcomponent of the Community Facilities Program, that was appropriated by the Wyoming Legislature in the general session with an allocation of $2.8 million to be expended as grant or grant opportunities for cities, towns, and municipalities to complete the preservation of former school facilities as community centers. Now, David, the Wyoming Business Council is there to help bring business to and foster business within Wyoming. So why are they giving hard-earned taxpayer dollars to municipalities that already have a budget to rehab old public facilities that they've, you know, pushed the maintenance off on forever? I believe it's called deferred maintenance, to develop old schools into community centers that will directly compete with private businesses and drive them out of these municipalities. Doesn't this seem a little incestuous there?
A little bit. And, you know, maybe they've realized that it's absolutely impossible for government to create business development. You know, we've all been duped by this business development lie. And it's not that hard to understand why it's impossible. Because the Wyoming Business Council is given tax dollars. The only way that you increase business or that you increase revenue is that you generate new revenue. So essentially what happens is you're recycling tax dollars. There's no new revenue that's generated, which is the problem with the Wyoming Business Council. They give a tremendous amount of money to all sorts of different outfits across the state. And then we're all left wondering why none of them have really even generated any money. The truth is that out of the $360 million or so that we've given the Wyoming Business Council, that Wyoming's GDP has actually gone down. Okay, so that's the first answer to your question, that it's impossible for them to do what they're doing. Second, they're rehabilitating buildings that are already owned by government. So they're taking your tax dollars under the auspices of generating business to rehab buildings that they haven't been taking care of in the first place, and they've allowed them to deteriorate. It would appear, Joey, that this entire program is about Johnson County because, again, there's the perfect example right in Johnson County. It's called Bomber Mountain Civic Center.
Maybe. Yeah.
In my opinion, it wouldn't be such a bad idea if somebody took a bomb in that place. Just joking, NSA. But anyway, it's a former school that was condemned, and the community threw such a fit that local government took it over and turned it into a quote-unquote community center. And the biggest problem was with fire suppression in Bomber Mountain Civic Center. And it was going to take something like, I don't know, like $1.5 million, $2 million to install fire suppression in that entire building, which I don't know if they've done it or not. Last I heard, the fire marshal told them if they didn't do something, he was going to shut it down. So the essential point is that we're taking buildings that the government allowed to allowed them to deteriorate with what, you know, as Joey rightly said, deferred maintenance. And then these buildings are taken over by government again. And then we're taking tax dollars and dumping them into an old building to rehab it, in the hopes that apparently some sort of community center is going to happen. Well, again, a community center could only generate passive income. That is, they're not actively generating revenue. They're not producing a product and going out and selling it. That would be active revenue. Instead, they have to wait for people to come and say, we would like to use your community center. So it's not actually generating any revenue. Second, it's impossible for government to create any sort of business development. And third, and probably the most important part, is they're picking winners and losers in that they're advantaging whatever business is going to operate out of this thing to the detriment of other businesses. Again, a classic example in Johnson County. So, and it's not just Johnson County, it's the entire state. Governments think that they are in the real estate business. If you go to any community in the state of Wyoming, the city owns a tremendous amount of property, some of which they lease out. Now, I don't know about you, Joey, but I never saw being a landlord in the proper role of government list, but nonetheless, they are. So the best example, in Johnson County, is Mountain Meadow Wool. Okay, it's one of the only wool mills in Wyoming. It's actually a really cool place. They take wool from all sorts of ranches and spin it into yarn and make all sorts of cool products. But the problem is, they're operating a business in a government-owned building at a substantially reduced rate. And so while, hey, if I was the owner of Mountain Meadow Wool and I was getting that sort of deal from government, heck yeah, I'm going to take advantage of it because I'm only paying half or a fourth of the rent that I would somewhere else. So the Wyoming Business Council really is engaging in an attempt to benefit some businesses to the detriment of others, i.e. picking winners and losers. I mean, it's another case of big government being involved in a whole bunch of things that they shouldn't have any business dealing with.
Absolutely. And I like that you brought up Bomber Mountain. I know you have personal experience at that place. I've been in there a couple of times. That place is a death trap. But like you said, before we started the show and we were chatting about this, you get a bunch of people in there for an event and something happens, a fire, I'm telling you. I guess it's just going to have to work out that they're going to take the mass casualty event that would happen there with the fire. And since Johnson County Coroner doesn't have the space for all of the bodies, they would send them over to the Sheridan County Coroner's brand new office that also doesn't have fire suppression in it. Just a little, if you want to hear more on that story, check out the Cowboy State Politics podcast from last week. And David and Harry Pollack do a great job unpacking what I'm talking about on that. But yeah, we had a situation here in Saratoga where they had a ton of deferred maintenance on the old clinic. They sold it to a private business for a dollar, which is fine. Got it all the operating costs off the books, immediately started generating property tax revenue. And the first thing the new owners who are putting in a daycare did was gut the building and put in a fire suppression system. So there are ways of getting out from under this stuff. There's a lot of problems with asbestos abatement because that's one of the deferred maintenance things that government loves to put off. And that's hundreds of thousands of dollars. So that's why this stuff really can't be sold, because nobody's going to pick up a bill of a few hundred thousand to multiple million dollars, even just to tear the building down and make the thing a parking lot. So you're right. And my biggest concern is the direct competition with legitimate private business. Again, something you've heard me talk about. The theater owned by the city of Rock Springs that they have endless drag shows at. Why does the city own a theater? if you want a theater, raise some money. You don't even have to have a private owner. You could have a small collective own that theater, operate it, generate revenue, diversify the tax base, all that good stuff that they talk about. But government is absolutely way too involved. And the Wyoming Business Council, they feed this. It's redistribution of wealth, again, to the winners and losers, like you said, that they want. And it doesn't live up to its own standard. And in fact, we've had a few legislators and former legislators. I remember when I ran against Jerry Paxton, he admitted, we've gone the wrong way with the Wyoming Business Council for about 10 years. We keep spending money, taking trips and trying to ingratiate businesses to come to Wyoming, and it hasn't produced anything. What they need to do is defund the Wyoming Business Council and set business legislation to foster an environment of opportunity and let the market handle itself. Exactly. Get out of the way. Right. Keep an eye on your building. If the government owns an old school, replace it, tear it down, sell it, get out from under it. But you need to, the municipalities need to learn that they have to keep up with their maintenance. Otherwise, they're going to be stuck with this eyesore. And if it's too dangerous to tear down, how is it safe enough for people to go into? Bomber Mountain's a great example. I know there's asbestos in this place.
There is.
I can see it in the holes in the floor that I'm almost falling through. So you're just begging for future trouble. We hear it every time they're talking about road maintenance. The longer we put this off, the more it's going to cost. But really right now what we're doing is letting it cost more in the future and spending current tax dollars on picking winners or losers, putting the government into, you know, property management rules that they shouldn't be in, and really not serving business propagation here in Wyoming. So it's just sad.
Well, as it relates to Bomber Mountain, and yet another reason why I probably did not get elected in Johnson County, is I made the argument that if you really wanted to increase business development, the best thing you could do is put that entire block up for sale. Just sell it and, you know, make some deal with whomever buys it that will cut you a break at the landfill when you tear it down. And you could even say, hey, you know, whatever you build there has to kind of fit the tenor of the town. You saw that they, in Sheridan, a good example of that is the Wells Fargo building. It kind of fits the whole Western theme of the downtown Sheridan. But the best way to create economic development with that structure is to sell it. There's enough property there to build a hotel right in the middle of Buffalo, Wyoming. But of course, the community got ticked off. Oh no, we have to have a community center. Not like the private sector could create a community center and actually make money with it. Speaking of which, and we've only got about 3 minutes left, and maybe we can talk about this some more tomorrow. But did you see that the school district in Sheridan has plans to build a $20 million community center?
Yeah, we got so much land and extra money, we're going to need some more. But yeah, we're going to go ahead and do exactly what we're talking about. Spend a bunch of your money to create something that's going to compete with private business. We should definitely get into that in depth tomorrow. Again, not too much time here. I want to correct something I said earlier, so I don't have to lead with it tomorrow. In the Girl Scout cookie story, I said Emma Carroll. That is Emma McCarroll. So correction there. And let's just go ahead and get this McMaster cookie seller a Happy Meal and send those emails if you want to help out to joey@justblamejoey.com. As soon as we get off the air here, I'm going to go ahead and try to get a hold of the family, and we can direct some support that way. Later this morning at 11 a.m., I will have on Just Blame Joey Live the entire presentation from Harriet Hageman in Carbon County last night. Of course, the Hair Affair with Christine coming up after Paul Harvey, but right after this show, you're going to have Cowboy State Politics with David Iverson, the number one internet radio program and podcast in the state, not just for politics. I don't see a whole lot of other groups getting over 250,000 listens. What do you got on the slate for today, David?
Oh, it's going to be fantastic, Joey. There's a group in Jackson called Shelter Jackson Hole. You're going to love these people. If you look on their social media, they're all about socialism and giving property tax breaks to renters. Fascinating group. There's been some allegations that they've given public money to people to buy homes in Jackson. Now, I don't know about you, Joey, but buying a home in Jackson is a little bit different than buying a home in Saratoga or Sheridan. But apparently this group has figured out a way to give taxpayer money to people to buy houses in Jackson. and they set up a forum with the Teton County GOP in which they let a Democrat do most of the talking. It's fascinating. I have sound bites from it. It's absolutely incredible. One of the sound bites, Joey, you're going to love this. Liz Storr says, yeah, I don't think this thing is constitutional. She's talking about House Bill 45, but I had to vote for it anyway. That's the only way that we could figure out this problem. So I've got sound bites from that. You're going to love it. And we're going to try to answer the big question as to why the Teton County GOP is hosting events with a socialist group to benefit Democrats. Fascinating.
Well, with that, just stick around. Keep the internet radio tuned to the Independence Network. Plenty of content that you are concerned about coming up throughout the day and the rest of the week right here on the Independence Network. And we will catch you first thing in the morning tomorrow here on the morning show with the Independence Network.